Our first scripture reading today is Deuteronomy, chapter 14, verses 22 through 27. Set apart a tithe of all the yield of your seed that is brought in yearly from the field, and in the presence of the Lord your God, in the place that he will choose as a dwelling for his name, you shall eat the tithe of your grain, your wine and your oil, as well as the firstlings of your herd and flock, so that you may learn to fear the Lord your God always. But if, when the Lord your God has blessed you, the distance is so great that you are unable to transport it, because the place where the Lord your God will choose to set his name is too far away from you, then you may turn it into money. With the money secure in hand, go to the place that the Lord your God will choose. Spend the money for whatever you wish: oxen, sheep, wine, strong drink, or whatever you desire. And you shall eat there in the presence of the Lord your God, you and your household rejoicing together, as the Levites reside in your towns. Do not neglect them, because they have no allotment or inheritance with you. This is the word of the Lord. Be to God.
So our second reading today, our New Testament reading, comes from Matthew's Gospel, part of Sermon on the Mount. This is Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 21. Jesus actually talks a great deal about material possessions and money and their influence on our lives. So this is one little snippet of that from Matthew 6, 19 to 21. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. This is the word of the Lord. Philadelphia's Ben Franklin, in his autobiography, writes of a day that he sat in a Presbyterian church one beautiful Sunday morning, thinking about generosity. For those not familiar with Mr. Franklin, he was a great writer, a very clever with a phrase, probably the most famous American across the world at the time of our revolution 250 years ago. But the thing that he seems to be often known for is that he was very thrifty with his money, did not throw around nickels like manhole covers, like the old expression goes. Yet, from his autobiography, these are Ben's own words from that Presbyterian church on that Sunday morning. He says, "I perceived the pastor intended to finish with a collection, and I silently resolved he should get nothing from me. I had in my pocket a handful of copper money, three or four silver dollars, and five gold pieces. As he proceeded, I began to soften and concluded to give the coppers. Another stroke of his oratory made me ashamed of that, and I determined to give the silver. And he finished so admirably that I emptied my pocket wholly into the collector's dish, gold and all." And we know Mr. Franklin was not one to toss around money foolishly. Yet he seemed to have a good instinct as to when to be generous. I wonder if he would be astounded at some of the things that our society values today. In other words, what we routinely all spend our money on. I mean, consumption is just part of our DNA now, it seems. So many things promise us a better life if we would only buy them. Money is always in the news. If you watch the news, you can't get away from it in one form or another. News about the economy being good or the economy being bad seems to dominate, you know, our daily life. So many of our national debates become about how much will it cost rather than is it the right or moral thing to do or who will it help? The price tag is always first and first and foremost in mind. And then we see examples of consumption that perhaps no one could have imagined. Well, many things do compete for our attention, especially when it comes to money. It's no wonder that even 100 years ago, the author G.K. Chesterton wrote this. He said, "By leaving the temple, we walk out into a world of idols, and the idols of the marketplace are more perishable and passing than the god of the temple that we have left." So what about us? Do you feel that your spirituality informs your spending, your generosity? It is surprising, like I mentioned, how much of the scriptures of the Old and New Testament address this issue very directly. That Old Testament reading from Deuteronomy, the law of Moses, prescribes basically that people must not overconsume, but may yet enjoy the bounty of God's creation. Deuteronomy 14:26 said that. Talks about how we may spend money on whatever we want. Oxen, sheep, wine, strong drink was in there. Anything you desire and rejoice together. That is the bounty and the goodness of God's creation that God wants for all of us. Yet at the same time, that scripture calls us to share so that all can partake in that goodness of God's creation, this marvelous, marvelous thing that we have been blessed with. So this is where, and we didn't read this part, but where in the book of Moses, Deuteronomy in particular, starts to spell out this thing called a tithe. Tithe, if you've heard that word, if you've hung around churches for a long time. Tithes and special offerings, too. Do you ever wonder what we mean when we talk about tithing, or where does that really come from? Well, I think this is one of the plainest references in the Old Testament, because here in Deuteronomy, we read actually about three different tithes. The first tithe, meaning one-tenth or 10%, was from the fruit of the tree or the herd of the flock, as the case may be. The rationale was simple back then. The rationale was the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So it seems that this portion actually went to support the temple priests back in the day. And we know them as the Levites. We could think of this as analogous to our modern-day budget for church staff, for instance. Yes, it might have changed and evolved a bit over the years, but the spiritual principle is the same. The second tithe was for the expenses involved in people coming to the temple. At least three times a year, all the people went to the great temple in Jerusalem for Passover, or the Feast of the Tabernacle, or the Feast of Weeks, big, big festivals. So there was much to be done to gather the people for worship, being in prayer and discernment. This probably comes down to our physical space, how we gather, this beautiful worship space that we have to gather in every Sunday or more often. We have a solid roof over our heads, a new roof. We have a beautiful sound system that we're blessed with. It's hard to put a price on the beauty of this space and this sanctuary. But then there was a third offering, a third tithe, only given every 3 years back in the Old Testament, and it was kept for those in need in the community. And this kind of correlates to all of our mission work. Now, at least on the PCUSA side that I'm familiar with, National Capital Presbytery money goes to both local mission work and some goes to the National General Assembly, which reaches out and touches thousands of people every year. Through those programs, we reach out to brothers and sisters in 79 nations, hospitals, agricultural training, education, expertise in nutrition. All of this starts with our offerings in our pews, in our churches. So in all of these that Deuteronomy references, we have a correlation that comes to us in this year of 2025. And the Old Testament tells us that the faithful followers of Jewish law gave to support all these things. And when you read the Psalms, for the most part, they were joyful about it. It was a celebration that the earth is the Lord's. The whole earth belongs to the Lord. So thus we come to Celebration Sunday. Today we dedicate what we bring to God's work for 2026 and beyond. So UPB will be entering another time of transition. You all have experience with that, I know. But the work of Jesus Christ doesn't stop or pause for a transitional time. There's a lot to look forward to, I think, in 2026 in this congregation. Transition can be difficult, but it can also be a new beginning. It can also mean new opportunities for new missions, for different ministries, for looking at new ways of doing things, which can be scary, but also exciting. In the weeks to come, I hope you will give some thought to these things. And as we move forward, one of the things that is important, I think, is that everyone is participating. I think we do a pretty good job of that here at this church. But everyone participating, especially in stewardship in one form or another, whether you're a regular pledger or a generous giver, or you give of yourself to work in the ministries of the church, or all of the above, as the case with many of you. You've probably heard me say it before, but one of my early mentors would tell us that I refer to often is that a church has no passengers, only crew. Everyone's role is a little different, but no one's just along for the ride. I thought I was just out in the back row playing music with Russ there. And look what happened. The examples of participating through giving and generosity they're all throughout the biblical witness, all throughout. The reformer John Calvin taught that material goods are for our enjoyment, but they are also instruments of God, the very means that God uses to help people. So we're blessed with varying degrees with money and things so that we can organize our society in a responsible way and bring peace and sustainable life for all persons. And then we come to Matthew's recording of the Sermon on the Mount. Some of the most challenging things Jesus has to say to the crowds. when he says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust consume, but rather store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. In all of these things, in the Old Testament, the New Testament, the Apostle Paul, John Calvin, Jesus himself, warns us to keep possessions and money in their proper place and perspective. In addition to all the wonderful things they do, it's also a spiritual discipline. How so? By taking a portion of our money, bringing it before God, dedicating its use to the spread of love and grace in a world of conflict and turmoil, you and I say to the world that it does not have a divine hold over us. We say to the world that we are storing up treasures in heaven by acts of kindness, with our generosity. We say to the world that we belong to one who transcends all things material. So today, whether you make a commitment or be a generous giver or share your time and talents, we are all crew here. And whether you decide to give the copper or the silver or even the gold is up to each one of us as we prayerfully consider that with God. But we make that decision as a spiritual discipline before God. And as for Ben Franklin, he respected a number of religious traditions in his lifetime, but what he really loved was a church who truly made a difference in the community. We can be that church. We are such a church. We will continue to be that church if everyone is on board. Mr. Franklin's final word on the church was this. He said, the most acceptable service of God was the doing of good to humanity. So let us be thankful for our abundant blessings. As the psalmist says, let us make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth, and let us be good stewards of it. Thanks be to God.